across every state of India, across 125 countries, across political, religious, racial, geographic and linguistic divide, across social and cultural barriers. What compels millions to step forward and reach out to complete strangers in need? Since 1940, when the 14-year-old Satya declared his divine mission, a silent revolution has emerged from a heart that preaches only one language, that of unconditional love. Through his massive service projects, Bhagwan Baba has redefined spirituality as social activism, responsible charity, and conscientious citizenship. Be it a service project in remote Andhra Pradesh or at a slum in Zimbabwe, volunteers from all backgrounds are transforming our world by serving in the name of Sai.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram. Today's episode is a conversation with Mr. Sriram Guduru from Singapore. In conversation with him is Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi, and this was recorded in the studios of Radio Sai on the 10th of September 2014.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, welcome to Serving in the Name of Sai, Radio Sai's special series that track few of the innumerable, and by that we mean the absolutely impossible to enumerate in their totality, the seva projects that are being undertaken all over Bharat and all over the world in the name of Sri Satya Sai. Bhagwan Baba is the most powerful spiritual reformer in the history of humanity, for he redefines practical spirituality with his call that the hands that serve are holier than the lips that pray. Bhagwan maintains that the final message of all the Vedas is distilled in the Upanishads, and the ultimate essence of the Upanishads is carried in the Bhagavad Gita. And he further declares that two simple sentences sum up the wisdom hidden in the Gita, and they are, love all, serve all, and help ever, hurt never. Today at Radio Sai, we are pleased to have a distinguished guest with us from the island nation of Singapore, and he's going to be sharing with our listeners some of the various service activities that go on in Singapore in the name of Sai. Mr. Sriram Guduru is currently the president of the Sri Satya Sai Society Singapore. He graduated with a bachelor's degree in electronics engineering from Usmania University, Hyderabad in 1983, and went on to earn his MBA from the prestigious IIM Bangalore in 1985. Brother Sriram Guduru runs a management consulting organization in Singapore with clients in the Asia-Pacific region. He has a long history of serving in the name of Sai, as he has served for more than two decades in the Sai organization at Singapore. Brother Sriram constantly endeavors to improve the seva, spiritual and education wings at Singapore, and in this attempt, he is ably assisted and supported by his wife, Mrs. Padmashree Guduru, an alumnus from Baba's Anantapur College. Sai Ram, Brother Sriram, and welcome to Serving in the Name of Sai.
Sai Ram, sister.
It's wonderful to have you today, so it would be a great start if you could give us an overview of some of the many fronts in which selfless community service is carried out in Baba's name in Singapore.
When we talk about Singapore, the first thing that comes to a lot of people's mind is it's a prosperous nation. There doesn't appear to be any poverty. So where is the need for seva? But actually, like any society, there is an underclass. As the society races forward in its quest for prosperity, there remain a few people who fall aside. So our challenge has been to look at these people who are left behind and focus our seva efforts on these relatively underprivileged. As an organization, we have taken up two broad themes for these. One is working with the elderly. People who are getting old and left behind on account of that. And the second is the huge population of migrant workers, mostly coming from South Asia. There are an estimated 1 million, that is 10 lakh migrant workers out of a population of about 5 million, which is 50 lakhs. So that makes it about 20% of the work population is actually people who are helping build construction projects. So we've taken these two as themes. There are other projects that are being undertaken by a number of our centers. I'll briefly touch on those. Firstly, let me start with the migrant workers. Migrant workers come in from India, from Bangladesh, and from several other countries.
Sri Lanka, Philippines, I'm guessing.
Yes, they do come from Thailand, for instance. Yes. They do come from China these days. There is some migrant workforce from China, but South Asians constitute a very large percentage. So we do a few sevas, and these are relatively new. We've started working with them only in the last 3 or 4 years. One part of our seva is we go on site to workers' dormitories, where they work, they live, and we cook meals for them. So each batch of meals that we cook is about serves about 500 migrant workers, so that they get a day off essentially from having to find food. And we typically about 30 volunteers come together. We go to their work site. We set up a temporary kitchen, and we actually prepare a sumptuous meal for them, and we partake in the meals along with them. So it's not something that we cook for them, we wouldn't eat. Another seva that we're doing for the migrant workers is, Swami had given Sai protein recipe. Mahila Vibhaga, Ladies Wing, prepares this Sai protein and administers it. May prepares the drink and distributes it to workers who are out of job. So these workers are out of job because they met with an accident, or they've had some issues in the company they worked for, and they've been displaced. They have no income and consequently no food. Some people provide them some basic food, but then they don't get nourishment. So we give them the Sai protein, we give them fruits, we give things that actually supplement their health. And that's done on a weekly basis.
If I may ask you, the Sai protein, it's a, I understand, a vegetarian option, and one that Swami has given the recipe for vegetarians.
Absolutely. It's a vegetarian protein, plant-based protein recipe given by Swami. So we are administering that to the most vulnerable segment of Singapore's population, those workers who come from outside, who lost their jobs and are waiting settlement or other cases, and this is a sizable population. So our youth have also started a seva of running a free clinic, a medical camp, if I might, in the area that these workers congregate in. So we run a twice a month medical camp where these workers are given free consultation, free medication, outpatient care on site.
And I'm sure they have no medical insurance, so this must be the only medical care they receive.
Absolutely. Especially if they get flu or any of these kind of simple things, they actually go without medication and hope that it they can just fight it off, whereas we're giving them the medication. That's run by the youth, Sai Youth. So these are some of the programs we have started for the migrant workers. Elder care is a more established program. And we run actually reasonably aside of the Sai organization, we run an NGO under Professor Yeo, an NGO in the name of Satya Sai Social Service, 4S for short. Satya Sai Social Service started about 15 years ago as a volunteer group going and serving at an old age home, at an elder care home run by the government. And at one point, the government wanted to experiment with it, giving it to the social sector. So they invited Sathya Sai Social Service to come and take over a home and manage it and run it independently. So we set up the formal organization, set up a few staff, permanent staff, and we started running that. It became so successful and so reputed that the government started asking us to take over other projects which were not running well. Consequently, and they offered funding. So they said, you take over the project, we will provide you the funding to the NGO. So we've started to get a number of projects, and now NGO runs four homes. And what we've done over the years is focused entirely on destitutes, people who are homeless. They become homeless because, for instance, they may have started as manual labor. And when their energies are down, when they become old and they have nowhere to go, they become destitute. They have no savings. They can't really lead a viable, independent life, so they end up with a home like ours. And we focus entirely on the destitute. At one point, the government came and said, since you have so many destitutes, so we would actually give you a per capita kind of funding. So there is a certain amount of grant that the government gives us. As this was happening, we had a question. Would Swami approve of this? We're taking funding from the government. Of course, there was no real constraints in terms of what the government was saying, except that asking us to run well. So Dr. Goldstein, who was then the head of the international organization, when he visited us, he took the whole presentation from us and actually showed it to Swami and said, Swami, these people are running this organization, an NGO in your name, the Sathya Sai Social Service, and they also get some grants from government. Is this okay? And Swami said, in this context, in the way they are running, it is okay. And they can continue to use the Sai name to run this. And Dr. Goldstein fed that back officially to us. So we were more encouraged to do more activities under the NGO. And that's run fairly professionally as an independent organization. And the government has a number of times asked us to talk about best practices, share the best practices that we have developed, especially in the area of medical care for these destitute who are living with us in the homes, to, with other NGOs, and we gladly do that. So in a sense, we've becoming like a model NGO of sorts. In Singapore. Singapore itself has very high standards as a developed country for its NGOs, and there the Sai organization is actually ahead of where they want us to be. And that's a achievement that the volunteers and the staff who are employed in the NGO have been doing. And today there are about 300 full-time staff, mostly nurses and care workers. We have managers. We have established a professional organization. The board comprises Sai devotees, volunteers. But the actual execution is done at the employee level, the staff, as well as a set of volunteers. In addition to the homes, welfare homes, the NGO also runs a rehab center. A rehab center where we try to work stroke patients back to health. It's a daycare center. We also have a scheme called Home Help Scheme.
May I just backtrack here, brother? This daycare center that you run for stroke patients, who are your typical patients?
People who have typically had a stroke paralytic stroke.
But wouldn't their hospital have helped them with recovery, physio and whatever else?
Yeah, so they do the first level of recovery at the hospital, and then they come to a step down care like ours, and where we have physiotherapists, we have occupational therapists, and they try to nurse these people on a long-term basis back to health. And so this is one facility. We have a facility for active aging. We call it now the Seniors Activity Center. We used to call it a neighborhood link. And the Seniors Activity Center, a lot of retirees, people who are today unemployed because of the age, they come in, and we have an active aging program throughout the day for them. So they start off with an exercise program for the elderly in the morning. There's a healthy breakfast provided to them free of charge. Then we have various games. We have exercise machines. We have even massage chairs for them. And we have clubs, which are all manned by the elderly. We have a dance club for the elderly. We have a music club for the elderly. We have an art club for the elderly. We have language clubs. So somebody wants to learn Chinese, somebody wants to learn Malay, somebody wants to learn some other language, English for that matter. So we have different language classes and language clubs. So there are a number of these activities that go on that give them skills, that give them an ability to engage, keep them busy, and have a very nice time in the company of other people. That prolongs their active life and a high quality life for much longer, because without these, they could very quickly become vegetate at an elderly age. This is one program that the NGO is running. The home help scheme, which I started to talk about, is a service we provide to elderly who are at different stages of disability. It has five underlying schemes. The first one is cooked meals. So we provide cooked meals twice a day. We deliver a meal to their home, to their doorstep, twice a day. We provide cleaning service for the home. They're too old to keep their own surroundings clean, so we actually go and provide that service. We take their laundry every day, and we clean it, and we return it back to them. Then we have service for personal grooming, so they may be bedridden, and we actually go and clean them. And lastly, we provide a non-emergency medical ambulance service to take them for their medical appointments, especially dialysis, so they don't skip these and keep themselves healthy. So this is a package of services that are offered to the needy based on their needs. So in that way, the NGO is serving primarily the elderly people in a variety of ways. We also have a scheme that's done by the center where we provide monthly food rations to the needy people. Currently we have 200 people on our program, so every month they receive the monthly rations. That's like what they do in most samitis around the world. So these are some of the sevas that are being done here. In addition, there are centers in Singapore that go to prisons and do prison counseling. There is a group that's doing tuition classes for the poor. There's a group that's going and volunteering at a elder care home once a month. And they go and feed them and entertain them. So these are some of the services that are currently offered in Singapore by Sai devotees. And we keep each month or each alternate month a new seva program comes in. There is a new seva team leader, and then it adds gives a few more people the opportunity to serve and thereby experience for me.
It's hard to imagine that a country that we see as so glitzy, so prosperous, so high-tech, has such an ugly underbelly, that there is a need for so much of help in the area of geriatric care and also immigrant population, especially the labor force. So, and it's very heartening to know that you have been endorsed by both Bhagwan, of course, and the government of Singapore for the work that's going on. Now, how do you motivate devotees to volunteer and spare their time? It's a very busy life there. People are always short of time. How do people make this a priority to fit their seva activities? Because what you have enumerated just now requires a sustainable long-term commitment. So how do you bring that about, that inspiration in the members?
In the way Swami has built a Sai center or a Sai organization in the field, it has 5 different wings. For most people, the starting point is from the bhajan, from the spiritual area. They come in, they enjoy the bhajans, and after a while, after they get experience with Swami and Swami gives them some experience, they want to come and do some service. I started my journey in the same way. Many of them start wondering, how do I fit in here? What can I do? I can't sing bhajans. Those who can sing bhajans, they offer their seva in the form of singing. Those who have the ability, especially sisters, they have the ability to go and teach Balvikas. They go and become teachers. We have about 40 gurus in our program. And if I add all the Balvikas programs happening in Singapore, there would be about 100 plus Balvikas gurus. And there are others who will come and say, I want to do some seva on the day. For instance, I want to come and decorate the hall or string some flowers or something like that. But others are looking at, what else can I do? So we've looked at seva in a broader sense, saying it's an ability to serve the organization or serve the individual recipients, because the organization is a vehicle also to serve the recipients. So for instance, a finance person, a chartered accountant, wants to provide service, and he may not be the person who would want to go and do the cooking, at least not in the beginning, to go and cook or do go and serve an elderly patient who's on a bed. But he starts off his journey by offering financial services to the centers to manage our accounts, for instance. And that's where he starts. If he makes his first journey, he starts to come in and make a regular contribution. Every week he finds time to come and handle the books of accounts and do all of that. And then he starts to see, hey, there is an activity here, I want to get involved. And that's where it's important for us to offer, center to offer as wide a portfolio of seva programs as possible, because different people relate to different programs. I do not have a single devotee who's part of every seva program that we do. They usually get into 1 or 2 or 3 seva programs at most. That saturates their bandwidth. And they pick the programs that are most appropriate for them.
So how strong is the base of Sai devotees in Singapore? Any estimates?
It's a little hard to estimate because we don't keep a record or a register of people who enter the Sai center for a bhajan. But if I look at a birthday as a time when everybody comes in, on a birthday evening, typically about 3,000 people show up for the evening bhajans, and during the day about total of about 5,000 to 6,000 people into the venue. So you could say that that's probably the outer limit of the number of devotees who at least once in a year show up at some activities. But on a more regular basis, you'd probably see somewhere between 500 to 800 devotees on a more regular weekly based programs across all centers.
Mm-hmm. What details can you give our listeners about the prison seva?
Our group, our Sai Center in Queenstown, they have been for a very long time going to the prison and working with prisoners, talking to them about spirituality and giving them reading books and counseling them, participating in counseling and general seva. So most of the people in the elder care programs, in the old age homes, as well as in the prison, what they need more than anything else is company. They need somebody to come and talk to them. And so the biggest seva you do is actually giving them company, listening to them, and talking to them. Let me share an anecdote. As we started the Seniors Activity Center, which was for active aging, I met a person, an elderly person, who was a recipient of seva, who'd come and he was sort of looking for help, and he was basically receiving seva in the Seniors Activity Center. As I started to talk to him, I learned that he was a professional photographer. But he had stopped taking pictures. He had wound up his studio business, and he brought some of his old albums to show me, and they were excellent. Then I asked him, why did you stop the photography? He said, yeah, you know what, now they have all these digital cameras, and I don't understand this digital world, and he's an elderly person, and I'm good with the film cameras. So we started to talk. We had a couple of youth, and we started to talk to them about differences between a film camera and a digital camera. And soon he lost the fear, overcame the fear of a digital camera. He went and bought a digital camera. And he said, now I have a digital camera. Can I volunteer at all your functions, at all your events, to take pictures? And he was there, active like anything. A person who was just sitting straight, now jumping around with his camera, and with all pride taking pictures. So sometimes just the act of spending time with people who are down gets them up and running. And so many examples our volunteers, our sevadals can share, where, you know, we've actually had that little transformative effect in the process of the interaction.
And we have had the group, the Sai group from Katong, who shared in great detail some of the success stories they've had with their seva with tuitions and tutoring the underprivileged children, and how remarkably that has turned people's lives around, the miracles that have happened. And then to maintain the Sai Center, which is actually the hub of all these activities, there must be some sevas going on.
Firstly, the Sai Center is kept open. And since we opened the Sai Center about 15 years ago, until now, it's open every single day from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And devotees come to pray, to meditate, or to actually buy Sai literature. And many times we have non-devotees, so-called non-devotees, who come and admit their kith and kin in the hospital. There's a huge hospital nearby. They admit their people in the hospital, and they come here and do a quiet prayer. Sometimes we have people coming in burqas, Muslim ladies coming in burqas and quietly praying and going. And when to maintain that and to interact with them, if needed, we have a group of volunteers, mostly sisters from the Mahila Vibhag, who take turns to man the center. So we have two teams in a day. The first team does the morning shift, the second team does the afternoon shift, and they rotate. And between them, they keep the center open all through the year. There are about 40 sevadals who just focus on this activity. There's another group of sevadals who manage the book counter. The center runs the only book counter in that vicinity. So people who want to get books and they can't visit Puttaparthi, they come in, and we actually carry the books from Puttaparthi, and it's virtually all from the book trust here.
No Radio Sai products, Sai Blossom products?
We actually have Sai Blossom's products as well. We carry the entire range of Sai Blossom's product as well. And we, in fact, have even a big poster there saying that Sai Blossom's products are available here. So that's manned by a team. And then the rest of the Mahila Vibhag, they actually help pack Vibhuti packets. We consume about 2,000 small Vibhuti packets a month. That's the volume of transaction. And if it's a birthday period, there's about 15,000 of them get used. So we need to actually keep packing these. Then we have to run the lamp in the prayer hall and keeping the place clean. So there's a lot of background activity that happens in keeping the center open all 7 days.
And tidy and welcoming.
Tidy and welcoming, and there is a bhajan every evening. So there's a large number of devotees who get involved in that. So those people who are not so much outgoing into doing the external seva, are people who are involved in the internal seva. Totally within the center, I estimate about 250 devotees are actually involved in seva, both within the center to keep the center running for the devotees as well as the external sevas that I talked about. And these people are all volunteers. These people are all people who are doing other things in life, and they give a specific time slot a week to actually keep the activity going. The activity is run because of all these volunteers. And now the volunteers are coming forth, and we have new volunteers coming forth and saying, hey, we have a lot of devotees from Kerala, why don't we celebrate Onam? So we have an Onam celebration that's happening every year now for the last 3 years. There's a group of now Muslims have come and said we'd like to celebrate Ramzan. And so we started to celebrate Ramzan. So we saw sort of looking at things that are happening in Prashanthi Nilayam and then using those as guidelines to have some devotees form teams and organize these events in our own mandir there, so that we create a ambience of a mini Prashanthi Nilayam so many thousand miles away from Prashanthi Nilayam for the benefit of Swami's devotees. So both happens. Our target is not just the external people who need the services, which we're doing and we're expanding in there. There's also a focus on delivering quality programs for Swami's devotees.
So it's seva through and through.
Actually, there is an area that people don't immediately associate with seva.
Which is?
Is education. We have about 250 children that come every week for the classes. Our center is no longer able to hold all of them in the center building. We used to do the classes there. As the numbers grew, we have taken a college premises. We rent a college premises on Sundays. We run about 10 buses to and fro to bring all the children and to run the classes there. So besides about 40 gurus who handle, who actually do the teaching, we have a team of gurus that teach only Veda. We have a team of gurus that teach music, bhajans. We also have instrumental music. So those are the students who want to learn the instrumental music. There's a large team that's involved in managing the buses, the transport. So a lot of volunteers get involved in serving the children.
Wonderful. Brother Sriram, it's so nice of you to share with our listeners such a broad overview of the many, many seva activities going on in Singapore. Here's wishing your team all the best.
Thank you, sister. Thank you for having me at the studio.
Pleasure.
I'm Sairam.
Sairam.
Sairam, you just heard an episode of our radio series, Serving in the Name of Sai, in which we brought to you a conversation with Mr. Sriram Guduru from Singapore. In conversation with him was Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi, and this was recorded in the studios of Radio Sai on the 10th of September 2014. Narayana Jaya Hari Om.
Come, ride the waves of divine ecstasy and experience the deep joy and bliss of Sai Bhajans. To celebrate the 91st year of Bhagwan Baba's divine advent, Sai Blossom presents Bhajan Medley Volume 2, a collection of high-energy congregational music to evoke sublimity, devotion, and a deep connect with divinity. Let's purify our hearts, homes, and environment with Bhajan Medley Volume 2, available at Sai Blossom Stores Prashanti Nilayam from November 2016. A loving offering by Team Radio Sai at the lotus feet of our Lord, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba.
Har Har Gange, Har Har Gange. Gange, Har Har Gange,
Har Har Gange, Har Har Gange.
He Nataraja, He Shivaraja, Har 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 Gange.
He Nataraja, He Shivaraja, Har 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 Gange.
He Nataraja, He Shivaraja, Har 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 Gange.
He Nataraja, He Shivaraja, Har 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 Gange.
Har Har Gange, Har Har Gange,
Har Har Gange, Har Har Gange.
Patipurishvara Jaya Gangadhara,
Patipurishvara Jaya Gangadhara,
Patipurishvara Jaya Gangadhara,
Patipurishvara Jaya Gangadhara.
Har 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 Gange,
Har 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 Gange,
Har 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 Gange,
Har 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 Gange.
Shankara Shiva Shankara Shiva Shankara Shankar Sai,
Shankara Shiva Shankara Shiva Shankar 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 Shankar Sai.
Har Har Gange, Har Har Gange,
Har Har Gange,
Har Har Gange. He Nataraja, He Shivaraja, Har 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 Gange.
He Nataraja, He Shivaraja, Har 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 Gange.
Har Har Gange, Har Har Gange,
Har Har Gange, Har Har Gange.
Patipurishvara Jaya Gangadhara,
Patipurishvara Jaya Gangadhara,
Har 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 Gange. Shiva Shankara Shiva Shankara Shankar Sai,
Shankara Shiva Shankara Shiva Shankar Shankar Sai,
Shankara Shiva Shankara Shiva Shankar Shankar Sai,
Shankara Shiva Shankara Shiva Shankar Shankar Sai.
Har Har Gange, Har Har Gange,